So we're in Deuteronomy in chapter 15, and it's entitled The Year for Cancelling Debts. At the end of every 7 years, you must cancel debts. This is how it is to be done. Every creditor shall cancel any loan they have made to a fellow Israelite. They shall not require payment from anyone among their own people, because the Lord's time for cancelling debts has been proclaimed. You may require payment from a foreigner, but you must cancel any debt your fellow Israelite owes you. However, there need be no poor people among you, for in the lands the Lord your God is giving you to possess as your inheritance, he will richly bless you, if only you fully obey the Lord your God and are careful to follow all these commands I am giving you today. The Lord your God will bless you as he has promised, and you will lend to many nations, but you will borrow from none. You will rule over many nations, but none will rule over you. If anyone is poor among your fellow Israelites in any of the towns of the land that the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted towards them. Rather, be open-handed and freely lend them whatever they need. Be careful not to harbour this wicked thought. The seventh year, the year for cancelling debts, is near, so that you do not show ill will towards the needy among your fellow Israelites and give them nothing. They may then appeal to the Lord against you, and you will be found guilty of sin. Give generously to them, and do so without grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. There will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed towards your fellow Israelites who are poor and needy in your land.
If you knew the type of life that I led, you would know that I should be the last person up here speaking about being good with finances. I've made a right mess of things before in my life. And I also wonder if any of you here this morning knows what it's like to be in big financial debt, right up to your eyeballs and beyond. Well, I can speak about it firsthand. First of all, though, I'm going to speak of how I cope with it, not long after I became a Christian. At first, when I became a Christian, as it's been said, you know, I was overjoyed. I can't describe the wonderful feeling that I felt. People would describe this as a honeymoon period that you have. I was overjoyed that I was saved, a feeling of elation. I'd been freed by Christ's sacrifice on the cross, and he liberated me, I knew, from the power of sin. Wonderful. I was absolutely over the moon. However, I was already struggling a bit financially at that time. I kept it hidden. I kept it buried. But as a year or two after that went by, after my conversion, I started to worry, as I knew deep down that I was heading for a big car crash. I was in debt. The debt was building and getting worse each day. Whenever you're in debt, that's exactly what happens. It doesn't get any better, it gets worse. Previously, Sadie, who I live with, for many years, she used to look after my finances because she knew I was hopeless with them. It was easy come, easy go for me. When I first started work, our wages was paid in cash every week. I never had a bank account, didn't bother with it. And as I lived in at Longgrove Hospital at the time I worked there, my rent was already deducted before I was paid in cash. And of course, if my cash did happen to run out before the next payday, I either borrowed from somebody and paid it back, or I simply didn't go out anywhere. Of course, as time went on, things changed. They announced that they wouldn't be paying us cash anymore, but paid directly into a bank account, which I didn't have. I had to scramble to go down the bank and open an account. Of course, the days of queuing for wages was over. And they became monthly payments, which was a bit more complicated. And also around this time, as time went by, Sadie, the love of my life, passed away suddenly. And among the grieving process that I went through, I discovered I was dangerously in charge of my own finances. And soon after that, along comes my debit card, and much more dangerously, my credit card. I spent a long, long time spending money I didn't have. It was all done by plastic, and I ran up debts eventually as the years went by on my credit card. I got to the point where I couldn't even pay the interest of my credit card. I got in arrears in my rent. I was threatened with eviction. I wasn't paying into it. I used to not pick up the post. I wouldn't read it because I knew it had bad news. I knew I couldn't pay anything. I had 17 calls one Saturday pestering me to pay my minimum payment than my credit card by the credit company at the time. They told me if I didn't, you're going to face legal action. I was in a mess. And of course, these things affect you, not just as you are, but physically. They affect you mentally. They affect you emotionally. I was in a hole. I didn't have any means whatsoever of escape. I actually thought at one time they were going to put me in prison because I was that far behind. I felt stupid. Knew I was a failure. And of course, I couldn't expect sympathy from people. After all, the person who was to blame was staring at me every time I looked back at myself in the mirror. It was my fault. So I felt so ashamed. I even had thoughts of suicide, although I knew I wouldn't actually carry it out. Not knowing much about suicide, I don't know whether that's once you start having thoughts, whether it proceeds from there, I don't know, but I certainly was having thoughts about it. I eventually broke and I asked for help from someone in the church I was attending at the time, and I was given good advice. And things start turning around. I changed my credit card company to another. I found out that I could enjoy interest-free rates for a year or so. And that was when I started my paper round that I'm still doing today. That was roughly 20 years ago. Now, I used to use all the money that was paid with that, and I threw it at my credit card account. I had a loan that incorporated all my debts and had monthly payments to pay off, which I could just about afford. And that cleared my overdraft. And it also cleared another loan I'd previously taken out. Slowly, month by month, my debt started to come down. But it got to a point during the austerity years when they kicked in that was imposed by the government. Everybody's wages were frozen. And being a gardener in the NHS, I didn't have wonderful wages. It meant that I was, you know, I really wasn't earning that much. So my debt, although was still coming down, it started to come down much more slowly. And then it came to a standstill. I was stuck. Even though I was doing everything I possibly could, I wasn't going forwards or backwards. I was just stuck. I'd also started to attend this church here, Christ Church. And after a while, they were asking people, as was customary at the time, for testimonies. And they were asking people to give them. And they asked me to give it. And I sort of hummed and hawed. And I thought, okay, in about 3 weeks down the line, I'll give a testimony. And I listened to the ones that preceded me as the weeks went by, all so positive, upbeat. It was incredible. And I'm thinking, how on earth am I going to give mine? It's not really upbeat at all. I agreed, as I say, with much hesitation to give my testimony. But I always remember the day that I was doing it, the positivity, the joy, the upbeat service that preceded my testimony. I didn't know how I was going to do it. I thought, I'm going to bring down the atmosphere. It's going to sound terrible. When you're in debt, you have to make sacrifices, of course. Luxuries that you might have previously enjoyed before. Quite a lot of you know that I love my football. However, Sky Football and everything else had to go. Well, this Sunday, as I say, the service was really upbeat. I really didn't, but anyway, I did go up and give it. And after I've given my testimony, the service leader, as was customary, maybe still is, asked for someone to pray for me. And the person got up and prayed for me, started crying through the prayer. And I was deeply moved. I couldn't get over that somebody would pray for me in tears that way. The next week when I came to church, someone pulled me to one side politely and asked me how much I was in debt. I told them. And right in front of my eyes, that person got a checkbook out and wrote the amount off and handed it to me. I couldn't believe it. I didn't know what to say. But it still didn't stop there. Someone else came up to me later on and handed me an envelope. That too had a check inside paid to me. I told them, went back to that person, said there was no need for that because someone has already helped me out and I'm now even. That person said, well, that's no good, is it? You need to be in front. I just can't get over the grace that was shown to me. After all, it was my fault that I got myself in that place. I can never thank my family here in Jesus enough. Also, my own family was a great help to me. And I had a friend, Ruth, who, handily enough, lived in Cornwall. So I was able to have holidays around there. I wouldn't have been able to afford a holiday if it wasn't for her. And I was really grateful that I could go each summer, even the autumn as well, to go and visit Cornwall. Ruth was not a believer. She wasn't a Christian. When I told her about what happened in this church, this is what she said. She said, your friends down at the church, they showed you true Christianity. They showed you what it was like, what they should act to be a Christian. That was coming from a non-believer. Do you know, I've never looked back since. I've now obviously retired, as you know, and I've had a sizable lump sum, a good NHS pension now. I've also inherited a good sum of money recently. I'm now better off than I've ever been in my life. So, brilliant, eh? All's well that ends well. All the prayers have been answered. Actually, no. I had a new problem. I found it difficult to give. Psychologically, I didn't want to go back to those days that was crippling and in debt anymore. I knew that it was wrong. I couldn't be like this, and I had to pray about it. I wanted to learn how to become generous again, and I praise God that I can. I've got to say, when I think about the time that I was in debt, even at my worst point, when I was totally and utterly skint, couldn't do anything. Do you know something? I was still better off than most of the world. I was in the top 10% of wealthy people living in the world today. You see, I had a flat. Thankfully, I didn't get chucked out. I had access to electricity. Even at one time, I thought they were going to turn it off. I've got clean running water. I have free healthcare. And no, I don't mean to demean those people today that are struggling to make ends meet. But I would have had also these days access to food banks. Once again, another organisation with Christian roots. If you live in this country, you are in the top 10% of the wealthiest people in the world. Whatever you're struggling with. Seriously, it taught me a lesson I'd so much taken for granted. Don't we all take things for granted? I think most of you would have heard about a man called Elon Musk. He's thought to be the richest man in the world. And I Googled this the other day because I knew I was preaching that if he was to part company with just a measly 2% of his vast wealth, that alone would provide food and emergency relief for 42 million people, potentially saving them from famine. There is lots of other billionaires that are very wealthy as well, like him. Well, the world says that, as we've already looked at, some people are needy. Some people are greedy. Now, I'm not casting aspersions on those people, but some people are greedy. How should we as Christians react to this? This reading that Linda read today, the first three verses says that at the end of every 7 years, you must cancel debts. This is how it is to be done. Every creditor shall cancel any loan they have made to a fellow Israelite. They shall not require payment from anyone among their own people, because the Lord's time for cancelling debts has been proclaimed. You may require payment from a foreigner, but you must cancel any debt your fellow Israelite owes you. Cancellation of debts. Imagine living in a debt-free society. It's incredible. But that's how God intends his church to be, how to be like. So if I myself am in a position to give, or any of you here, it's a real blessing. And thanks to those that do give, that give their time and give their money to this church, allowing us to be generous and supporting the charities that we're involved in. This morning we prayed for Mark Schlesinger and his mission in South Africa. I know that we give to Food Bank, Release International, Persecuted Christians and others. And I know that this church would love to give more, including to the practical needs of our own church building. You may think that this is a new building, but there's still expenses incurring. And to do that, the church does rely on the grace of God and for donations from us and other people that donate to this church. Now, it's all very well for me to stand up and say that, but I've had to have a good look at my own and review my own giving. And as I've said earlier on, I learnt that my giving was totally inadequate, and I've made adjustments. After all, in verse 4, it says, however, there need be no poor people among you, for in the land the Lord your God is giving you to possess as your inheritance, he will richly bless you. There are many charities, Christian related most of the time. They aim to eradicate poverty, like the charity known as CAP. Christians Against Poverty, that stands for. Look, it was my fault that I got skinned. with lots of other people around, it isn't their fault. Some people are working, employed, and they still can't make ends meet. And not any old profession. Some of them are working to look after our health in the National Health Service. Cap rightly says that poverty, it's more than just going without. It robs people of joy. It robs people of hope. It robs people of opportunities. It tears families apart, isolates those in need of support, and it leads many to believe that there is no way out. That's how I felt. I can concur with that. How do we, if we are able to respond to this? Verses 7 to 8 says, if anyone is poor among your fellow Israelites in any of the towns of the land the Lord your God has given you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted towards them. Rather, be open-handed and freely lend them whatever they need. Don't be like this. Be like this. I think that this really says that if we are in a position to give, not all of us can, I know. Don't be mean. Don't put it off. Don't say, I'll get round to it and too busy. I've done that myself. It's not right. It will be seen as sin. And also give without expecting payment back. Going on, in verse 10, it says, give generously to them and do so without a grudging heart. There's a way that we should give. Not generously, it says. Not with, I could have done with that to pay for my holiday or something like that. Because if you do things like that, it goes on to say, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything that you put your hand to. And there is a joy in giving. So give generously without grudges or regrets. If you do, God will bless you in your work and everything you do. I'm going to come to the end of this now, but I have a final thought. Each and every single one of us here today is in debt. Did you know that? There's two debts, actually. The first one I read about in Romans. Romans 13, verse 8. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the whole law. I've experienced love from this church, much love, and I hope that I can give love also in return. This is an ongoing debt. We keep going until the day that we meet the Lord. But there's another debt too. We can't pay this one back. That's the debt of sin. We can't possibly pay that back. None of us. But hang on a minute. Jesus is coming back over towards us with a checkbook. He's writing out and he hands the check to us, paid off in full. What generosity. What love. What grace. Let's pray. Father, how can we ever thank you enough for the gift of love that you gave us by sending Jesus to us? Help us to take the generosity given to us by you, our God, through your Son, who also you gave us, doesn't stop there, the Holy Spirit. When you give abundantly. And if we are able, then help us to be generous as we can with our money, with our time, and with our service. To you, Lord, we pray these things. In Jesus' name, Amen.